Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Calling to order at 7:17 p.m. the San Ramon Arts Advisory Committee agenda on March the 21st, 2018. Roll call.
Committee member Batchelor.
Present.
Committee member Brathwaite. Committee member Manny.
Present.
Committee member Mohana. Committee member Shastri.
Present.
Committee member Tui.
Here.
Committee member Vahilia is absent. Committee member Liu. Absent. Okay.
All right. Special items or announcements?
I did get one item from committee member Vahilia, who cannot be here this evening because of an illness. And she has something she wants me to, some comments she wants me to read into the record when it comes to the review of events and activities that happened.
Okay. Public comment and written communication.
Oh, sorry, number four. Yeah. I jumped the gun.
That's all right. So that's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Item number 5.1, approval of minutes from the February 21st, 2018 meeting. Make a motion.
Let me see if we can even do that. Yeah, one, two, three. We only had three of you here that were present.
Oh, okay. So we don't have...
Yeah, so we cannot approve the minutes because it has to be people that were actually at the last meeting.
Right. Yep.
And only three of you that are here tonight were at that last meeting, so we have to have a quorum to approve the minutes. So we'll have to table the minutes until the next meeting.
All right, item number six, is there anything on the consent calendar?
No.
All right, item number 7.1, committee business, San Ramon Public Art Map Review.
All right, so you received in your packet a staff report and a bunch of copies of what is our current map, and then this presentation that I will give to you. So what we're looking for is for you to review the current public art map and provide feedback to staff on the creation and distribution of an updated version of said map. The City of San Ramon public art map or brochure was created and approved by the Arts Advisory Committee in 2002. A copy of it is attached because we no longer have any hard copies of it because it was so long ago. The original one that was created was 11 inches by 35 inches and folded into an 8-fold booklet. So it was 11 inches tall, 35 inches wide, and then it was folded, and I believe it was maybe like about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about those dimensions, if you can kind of picture that. It includes a map, addresses, a description of all the public art at that time in San Ramon. It includes some photos of the public art pieces, not all of them. It was printed and distributed at the front counters and a variety of places throughout the city. That's why we don't have any more, because it is pretty out of date at this time. So the Arts Advisory Committee set a goal in your 2017 annual report, so this is a goal for this coming year, is to update and make available to the public the San Ramon Public Art Map. So what we're looking for is feedback on what kind of information you want to include in the next public art map, what type and style of map you think will meet the needs of the community. A big decision that needs to be made is whether the map should be hard copy printed, done in a digital format, or both. And we'll talk about that and show you some items that you can look at in the presentation. Keeping in mind the goal of attracting residents to use the map and help promote public art in the city of San Ramon. There's no fiscal impact at this time. What we would like after I incorporate the feedback that I received tonight, I will bring forth a draft to a future Arts Advisory Committee for consideration. So, basically the presentation is here on the screen for you. So I would like you all to jump in with questions and comments at any time. Again, we're not taking a vote on this, so I'm going to take comments, questions, suggestions from everybody. All right.
Okay.
So that's a picture of the current map, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That is a picture of the current map.
Okay, sorry.
So you can see the map, and then the left section of it was the front.
Right.
And then it folded down.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
All right, so these are some of the types of these are some of the things we want you to consider. Generally, the type of map. If we want to go online only, which a lot of cities have done, a lot of entities do go online only, keeping in mind that the city just did launch their brand new city website, which is so much easier to use, it's scalable and mobile friendly. So the benefits, again, it's easily updated, people can walk around with it, it's very mobile. So you need to have a discussion about that. What types of items do we want to display on the map? Do we want to have a photograph of every piece? Artist name, do we want to include a short biography about them, a description of the piece, do you want to get down to the details of the piece, measurements of the piece, year it was installed, you know, what the medium of the piece is, how it was created, if it's public or private, do we want to distinguish between the public funded pieces and the private pieces, because we have both. Things to consider, again, the use of pop-up photographs, so this would be in an online format. And then to consider GIS, and I'm sure that Mr. Perkins can even speak more to this. I don't have a great knowledge of it, but we do have a GIS specialist in the city, and it is an information technology-based tool that enables you to create maps and pictures and organize and then reveal multiple layers of your map. So you'll see an example, and I would encourage you to go on the city's website. It's ever evolving, but we have a trails map. So you can use GIS to locate the items, and then you can put layers that can pop up and let people know different information. So this is a lot of information that potentially could be in a map. What you need to keep in mind then is if all this information, or if you want a lot of information on the map, then you really will need to look at a digital format, because we're looking at 30 pieces, I think. It would be difficult and expensive to print, but it's not without the realm of doing that. That's a possibility.
You could have an online that has the whole package, and then you could have a simplified version that is just the printed version.
Yeah.
Where you have location and a picture and an artist name.
Just quickly.
So when you're talking about a digital format, you're just talking about that it's on the website. You're not talking about having it be able to be downloadable or have it to be in an app format.
So downloadable would be basically in a PDF format. And that would be if you would not be able to download the entire thing. If you went with an online map, let's assume we want to make it as up-to-date as possible, you're not going to want it to be just, you know, one-dimensional. You're going to want your online map maybe to have some layers.
Right.
Because you don't want people to have to scroll through a million things to get the information. Mm-hmm. So you want them to be able to maybe see a picture, touch it, or see the map, touch the map, the picture pops up.
Yeah.
Below it, the artist pops up. Below it, the, you know, information pops up. So they're not having to scroll through tons of information. That wouldn't be downloadable. Because
you
could have it on your phone, mobile, as long as you have a connection to the website, either through...
Yeah, but it's just...
You couldn't use it offline.
Yeah,
but I should be able to get a printable version.
There should be a downloadable link as well.
Yes.
Well, that would then be a smaller version, more than likely. A PDF. Yeah. It would be some sort of a document that is designed.
You just create a separate link to a download.
Exactly. Yeah. And it would be a smaller version that someone could download. They could then use offline, and/or they could print it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So if I'm at a park and I see the sculpture, I can bring it up on my app. And
It's not an app. You bring it up on the city's website.
The city's website?
Yes.
Okay. So you're going through a browser.
You're going through a browser, but the city's website now is...
But I can just bring up that piece of art and then get the background information on it. Or I can be sitting at home and say, I'd like to go and see what art is where, and I can pull it up that way.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Our website now is fully scalable.
Okay.
So do we have any information that suggests
that anyone has ever been interested in doing a tour of the San Ramon public art pieces. Because obviously,
Something that we get.
Just from my own recollection.
It's not something that we get people asking about.
It's certainly not walkable.
No.
They're too far apart.
Yeah, we don't have a sculpture garden or anything like
so,
that.
And so, you know, at the very least, you're dealing with a car trip. And I don't think in all the years that I've been around, I've never heard of anybody saying they took one.
You could use our nifty new driverless bus.
I've certainly not done it myself. I know where a couple of them are that are not on the list, but I'm just wondering, you know, is a map, obviously, it makes some kind of sense, but I was thinking the printable version would be most suitable if someone actually
was going to make a tour
and didn't have a phone or didn't want to bring a phone or whatever.
Right.
Or didn't want to use their data.
Right, because as soon as you get away, you know, you're out in the middle of Windermere at a park or something, there's no Wi-Fi, so you would have to use your data, that's correct, if you wanted to go the full mobile.
So, it may be that, various people undoubtedly took however many were printed. I suspect they never used them for the intent that they were probably printed for. And they probably wouldn't be again.
Oh, cool.
Well, so you have you have a couple of things. So you can create a doc, and you guys all know this, you can create a document that is printable.
Right.
Or you can create a document and get it printed. So that's a budget consideration down the line. You know, that would have to be something. That would have to be something we'd have to work out a budget and put in the budget and get approved to actually have the money to go to a printer for color press and get it printed out. Mm-hmm. Or the whole thing can be created online format with a simplified version, a PDF version that a person could print themselves.
Right, just as the highlight says, here's this, has a little list.
And we could even, if someone came to the front counter and asked about it, we could have some printed copies available for them. Yeah. But it wouldn't be in a traditional brochure format. Right. We'd be talking about printing it out on, 8.5 by 11 paper on our color printer.
Which I think, it'd be nice to have some printed versions
available.
You can print
a version that's online.
Printable version.
But if people don't have access.
What you just said was, you could just print out some copies of the one that's online.
I understand.
Right.
As opposed to printing out.
It just wouldn't.
It
wouldn't look like fancy.
So
like this.
I think it'd be nice to have some printed versions available without spending the money to do, a fancy brochure. I think money could be used to actually continue to place art.
I think we should penalize the Luddites.
Penalize the what?
Luddites.
You're doing that already.
He's poking at me.
Because that would drive how we design that document, the document.
Right. Because
you're not going to design a document that's this size and then we go to print it out. So it would really be in a format that's an 8.5 by 11 format.
Right.
Maybe two pieces of art per page, with a photograph, the information, a full page map maybe, so it would be, how that one is designed.
You can just make a map, just the map, and then say, go online to find more details.
That's true.
Just a one page map, 8.5 by 11 or whatever.
Yeah, the more intensive part of the project, if you're leaning towards where I think you're leaning, is really having something, as robust as possible online and interactive online, that's going to be the more intensive part of the project. Condensing the information into a couple of, into pages is going to be more simple. All right, so the definition of public art, it includes paintings of all different media, permanently affixed works such as murals, sculptures, other visual media, including but not limited to prints, drawings, stained glass, calligraphy, mosaics, photography, other works of a wide range of materials, disciplines, and media, including installation and performance art, which are documented for public viewing, and functional artworks which possess practical functional qualities as well as aesthetic ones. So what is not considered public art? So these are some of the basic things you need to have in mind when considering what's going to be put to the public, you know, what we're going to put out there. Directional elements, signage, graphics, color coding, except where these elements are an integral part of the original artwork. Art objects which are mass produced. So if there's a sculpture that was, you know, purchased and installed in front of a structure or building, or inside a lobby of a building, if it's mass produced, that's not considered public art. Playground equipment, commercially produced fountains, flags, or banners. So one of the main reasons I put that in there is because of the fountains. So we have a lot of fountains in San Ramon. So we have to be able to make a decision on which ones we consider commercially produced. Do we have any that are just, you know, an individually produced fountain, or could you say they all are? So these are things that you need to keep in mind.
Well, the two main ones would be Doherty and Crow Canyon and Bollinger and La Costa. Is there another one?
Well, there's a fountain in Bishop Ranch. I mean, there's a fountain in the middle of Bishop Ranch. So is that... these are the kind of things. If you're going to include... That's what I'm saying. If you're going to include the fountain on the corner, then you have to include like the one in the middle of Bishop Ranch.
Well, I don't think
so. Again, that's the the differentiation. Is do you consider those fountains commercially produced fountains?
I wouldn't.
Well, they're not mass produced for sure. They're individual
fountains. I think they are an artistic element, personally. But
well, you know, and I mean, flip side. Most, if not all, of the ones in the original brochure mm-hmm. were the ones that were demanded by the city.
Developers.
Doesn't include any of the fountains or any of the statuary or anything that we have dealt with over the years. And I presume the definition of those would be included in public art as well. Like the one out here.
I'm
talking about
the people.
The people.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah, that's not
in
question.
Well, there's none of those in the brochure.
No, because this brochure was made in 2002.
Okay,
so we have very little of what we have now in here. So, but what I'm getting at is, so like as an example in the brochure we have now, or we had, there is a fountain. Does ADP Plaza even exist anymore? 2010 Crow Canyon, it was created by...
The ADP building exists.
It's still there. Okay, so yeah. So that
is... Little Maddie's is, the hamburger place, Little Maddie's.
Oh, and Crow Canyon.
Yeah, it's right across the street.
Okay, so that fountain...
Legacy's there now, right?
That fountain was included in our original brochure.
Because that's what they did as their public art piece.
So...
Well, fountains is public art piece anymore.
Wow.
But that's something that you need to think about. So if that fountain was installed as the public art piece, then it was created, they have the artist, then that is what we would want to include that. Mm-hmm. But as an example, you wouldn't then include the fountains out in front of that are out here in the community center. And then you wouldn't include the fountains that are on the, you know,
corner.
The corner. Mm-hmm. So everybody get the differentiation.
The
one with all the steps?
That's not mass produced, but is it a fountain?
Yeah.
Is it a piece of art? Was it commissioned as a piece of art, or is it just an architectural feature?
Yeah.
Okay. I see what you're
saying. That's the reason why I put this in here, is everybody kind of needs to get that in their mind when we really start to get down to what we're going to put in the map. Is that what you were referring to, or the map at the fountain at ADP Plaza or ADP building was a commission. It was their public art. It was a commissioned piece, and we have the artist.
Yeah.
But maybe the one in the corner out there, or like the one that was here, that's here at the community center, is an architectural element. It was a commissioned
piece of art. Well, the other problem is that they're not always running.
That's a whole different topic.
So
that's kind of, you need to keep that in mind when we're getting down to the nitty gritty of what's going to be put in.
Okay.
So unsigned or mass produced reproductions of original artwork, performing arts events, which normally would be considered part of a traditional schedule, that kind of thing. And of course, works of art that are perceived by the review panel as offensive. I don't think we'll run into that. Hopefully not. Okay, so here are some examples of some public art maps. And what I would encourage you to do is, you know, over the course of these next couple of months, is start to do your own research and find maps that you like. Find elements of maps that you like. Now, this one is a hand-drawn map. So this would not translate well to our, perhaps the direction it seems like we're going is to really have an online presence. This is really...
That's
one that's
far more
geared
compact
towards,
as well.
And it is. It's,
we would, our
we
scale
would never
would be
fit
so,
on there, right. But I wanted you to see some different types.
I mean, I prefer that.
It's cute.
It is
it's
cute.
Whimsical. It
and
makes you want to look at it.
If everything was very compact in a couple of blocks area,
right.
That would be the ideal way to go.
But to do the entirety of San Ramon in a caricature is going to be...
Well, you could do pages.
You could, if you really like this particular format.
Yeah. No,
go area-wise.
Yeah.
Area-wise.
Yeah.
So
but yeah, I think
more,
your point was it might not fit in well with the whole digital...
It's not going to translate well online.
Yeah.
You're not going to be... Mm-hmm. It's not going to translate well to doing, you know, pop-ups of,
yeah.
of photographs and things like that. This is more of a cute little brochure
yeah.
to carry around. So here's an example of a simplified map that was computer-generated. This is almost similar to the map we use for the map of the festival. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty simple, but obviously on a larger scale. Still has some of that cutesy stuff. Okay, then you get down to just like a street format, a street map format. So this one is pretty straightforward. It might be a little boring. Now keep in mind, this type of thing right here, this would print very well. It would print cleanly.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to do a street type of map with numbers, you know, on it, and just put the numbers of where the art piece is with the list for people to print out.
Right.
This is the type of thing you could look at.
And they could possibly click on the number and get the picture, the artist.
Right, and that would kind of be the idea of using the pop-ups, is if
yes.
we went with sort of a map that we could somehow coerce... Steven Spadowski into making for us.
It's good.
We can put some
utilitarian,
yeah.
but it's not artsy.
It's not artsy, so you're right. It doesn't say
art. I'm an art map.
No, but it is. It really is their public art map, but you're right. It's kind of boring.
Anal.
Okay, so here's another type of a street type of map. But again, this is an area where it's all in one, all their art is like really off of like
kind
two
of
streets.
A downtown area,
right?
Yeah.
But this gives you an example of it being street based. It's really easy. This type of map is really easy for someone to drive around and find the pieces of art.
Yeah,
so
I do like the fact that you have different colors. For says traffic control boxes are red, sculptures are blue, murals are green, and
do people kind of
sidewalk is
like the color differentiation?
Yeah, because we can, you know, like sculptures or utility
so
boxes
wants to look at the
or whatever.
Traffic control boxes, they know they go to the red ones, and that's where they are. That is a nice feature.
It's clean.
Yeah, yes. And easy to follow. And easy to print, because it doesn't have like some dark background color on it.
That's good color, Wisconsin.
Appleton,
yeah.
So again, you can go online, take your packet, go online, look at these maps, and see the ones that are interactive and the ones that you can touch on.
Okay.
Some are very, just bam, it's up there, it's a PDF, you can print it out, it's pretty simple. Others, though, have a lot of layers and a lot of detailed information. But this is, again, kind of an example of a street format that's easy to read. It's a little more colorful, it's a little bit more whimsical. Okay, so here you have your straight-on, interactive, web-based, using an overhead photo. So this is also doable. It's pretty ugly. Until you actually pop, it's really, yeah, it's utilitarian. So this is actually an overhead view of their city.
Yeah, they took Google Map.
Yes, yeah, so yeah. I was going to say, yeah.
Right.
Google map with some dots on it.
And, but you touch the dots, and each one pops up with okay. the piece of art.
All right.
So it blows up to the side with the piece of art, so you okay. can get a picture of it.
Inspired by yeah. World War II.
I don't like it.
Yeah, it's kind of...
It's my least favorite by me so far.
This one is a little hard to see up on the screen because this, again, this is just a straight interactive map. So this is kind of like this in a way, but this is more simplified. This this is like satellite, Google Satellite, mm-hmm. and this is Google Maps, mm-hmm. pretty much, or something similar. So this,
that's Apple Map,
yeah. It's the same kind of concept in that it shows the city, and this is really spread out. Albuquerque is a really spread out mm-hmm. city, mm-hmm. If you've ever been there. It's really yeah. spread yep. out. So this type of thing...
I've been there a lot.
This type of map might be a good starting point for an interactive map because you can overall see the whole city. It's simplified. You can see the ones that are in your general area of the city, and then you click on them, touch on them, and you can click through to... You can zoom into a section, and then you can click on each one.
You can make them different colors.
You could certainly make them different colors, yeah. 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 Okay, so Lafayette has a nice one. And this, so they've got, what you see on the left is an example of when you click on one of the blue dots, you get the information on the left. So you get a photograph of it, you get the name, you get a description, when it was installed, the artist, that kind of thing. So I like theirs a lot yeah, in yeah. that it's, again, it shows that nice simplified mm-hmm. map so you mm-hmm. can easily see where you are, what section you want to go to or where you want to go. But then it has the pop-ups. So we just literally launched our website a month ago. So I'm not a computer person, so I'm not... really familiar with all of the things that our website can do.
So here's what I just looked up. This is Palm Desert. I don't know if you've ever been down to Palm Desert. They have a lot of
public art.
Public art, street art. So that's what. So they did that too. They have a link here for a park map. Just says, get your art map. And there it is.
Now that isn't interactive.
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
So you
but I think, no, I guess it's not, no. no. But it does give you the, you know, numbers and you can have a legend and, you know,
so Lafayette's is a good one to look at. It is interactive. I don't, know exactly how it's created. I would have to talk, I'd have, if this is kind of the type you want to go with. If you want to go with an interactive map, then, we need to start discussions with our GIS people and figure out what the capabilities of our website even are to do. So that's a good one to look at. So this one again, this one here, they have a lot of public art. They break it out into districts, which I don't think we would really necessarily need to do. But they did use kind of the color coding as well. So you can kind of see the different, you can quickly and easily see the different types of art and where they are. And then they do also have, I believe they have pop-outs. This is the city of Berkeley. So they went away from what I would call a more realistic map, like of these, literally maps that are ever-changing, like Google Maps, and they went to more of a drawn map, like a computer drawn map that they manipulated.
It's still kind of boring.
It's pretty boring. Yeah, I was a little surprised.
One step
above Berkeley. It was a little boring.
Yeah.
I mean, because this is the first thing that you have to see. Forget printing it out. If you're gonna, launch the website and you want your map to be how people find the art.
Where they start. Yeah.
You want your map to look good too. You want your map to be something that people are going to want to click on. This one's a little dull. They want to stay on. So Calgary, again, same kind of thing. They used a tab format across the top for their different areas. we could do something like this if we wanted to designate four regions of San Ramon, and you could have each one under a tab, and then what you can do is the little boxes for each district. So when you click on the downtown, you get a pretty detailed map of the downtown. Everything pops up that's downtown, and then these boxes to the left, you click on those, and I think you get the bigger picture too. They expand. I'm not sure if we have enough to divide the city into areas.
Downtown is a city block.
How many pieces are we talking?
I think we're going to have about 30 pieces.
Yeah. You don't need to divide 30 into.
No.
Into quadrants.
Well, a couple of the areas would be almost
would be blank.
Totally
right.
Bereft of.
Yeah.
Well,
so
you could look at the Bishop Ranch area because it's there, and then maybe just parks. Because there's a lot of the public art is in the park, so it could be a way to divide it by not necessarily.
If you wanted to, you don't have to. A lot of places don't.
Yeah, I don't know that we have.
I just wanted to show you this as an option.
So here's how they did it with their. So they have the map, but then they have a legend.
So that to me right there looks like it's a fully printable brochure.
Yeah, yeah,
and they just took their brochure and PDF'd it.
Yeah.
So
that's like
you have to cross, you have to reference back and forth.
Right.
Well, yeah.
I don't have to do that much.
I mean, if you print it out, you've got the map, and then you go, 30, we're walking by 30. Oh, it's the piece from.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of ways to tackle this. So it can be tackled from. Forget about what's going to be printable. Forget about a PDF. Forget about that part. Let's just focus on getting the online portion. And then we take the information from the online, all whatever we gather, and we take that information and create a template. And that's how we populate a printable PDF. Mm-hmm. You can do the opposite, is you can start with the PDF, the version that will be PDF'd, a simple version of a template, get everything down, get all the art pieces down, get the pictures and everything down, and then you can take that and use that as your working document to create your online presence. In the meantime, while you're creating your online presence, not having a clue how long this really will take, it's going to depend upon resources that can be devoted to it, staff time that can be devoted to it, and so forth. If you were to start with the more simple of the template PDF version, you could literally put a link pretty quickly onto the city's website of the public art, where it's just a link to the public art map. And you could get that started that way and then work on the online presence. Or you could just devote all the energy to the online presence.
I don't think there's that much demand for this, right? It needs to be done ASAP. Right.
I agree. It is going to be a long process to do this, definitely. It's just kind of thinking about how you want to, how we want to try to tackle it. But this is a nice example of an interactive one. But again, I wanted to show this to you because it divides the city into different areas. So I kind of got the impression that we didn't think that was really something we wanted to do with. Okay, so this map, this is the one that I really liked the best, but this map was designed for them. They paid, probably a pretty fairly pretty penny to have this whole map done for them, either a consultant or this company to do their map for them. So they hosted it. It's called Story Maps, but this is Palm Springs. So, but you could definitely kind of steal their type of idea. So again, they use a map. The map to the right, you can zoom on it. You can zoom in and out. So you can make that bigger and see the little, this right here, if you click on it, I think this goes back and then you can zoom and make your map even bigger. Mm-hmm. And then you touch on one of the numbers and it pops up this beautiful picture of their different map pieces, and then you have each one of them scrolling across the bottom.
I think we need to make a tour there.
I think so too.
Now, I know we can do this scrolling feature. this I know we can do right here. And this, I know this can be done because we do it right on our website right now. We have all of our activity guides, little pictures of our activity guides, and you can scroll through all of them. So I know this feature is very doable. This would be a photograph of the piece. We do have photographs of a lot of our pieces. It's going to take some work to get good photographs of the other pieces. Look at the photographs we have, you know, the ones we have now, to see if they're good enough or if we want to retake them, and then time to do that. But this kind of scrolling thing is pretty doable. So if you kind of like that kind of format, I know we can do that. It's then, you know, figuring out how to do this, you know, the map of the city and getting it to work with these pop-ups.
There's that.
There's a lot. So you guys, but it's obviously up to you guys. So, you know, you should go and take a look at all of these, the different examples, and other ones that you find as well.
So here they have the hyperlink for click on a downloadable PDF map right here.
Okay.
For Palm Springs. Yeah, and there's that piece right there.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So they've got it in some sort of a brochure format too.
Yeah.
Yeah, which again, we could easily do that in a more simplified format. Okay, so here is what we actually have on our website right now. So this was done with our, and it's the same, they used a company that's Story Maps, but it's the same, it's powered by ESRI, it's the same technology. And I know that Stephen Spadowski worked with our Trails Map committee to do this. So this is very doable. They use the tab format across the top. We could do a tab format across the top, surely, like that. Or again, we can do kind of the scrolling thing across the bottom. The Trails Map isn't as visual as we're going to want the public art map to be, because you're basically clicking on it and then zooming in on a trail. But it's the same kind of concept I would think that you might like to see, in that it gives the overall map of the city. They can move around, you can move the map around, you can zoom the map, you can shrink the map, you can click on the little buttons, which I'm assuming we can make the icons different colors. They just chose blue trees, I think they are, but we could come up with our own icon in different colors if you liked it. And they click on it and they have that little pop-up box.
It's the one on the...
And the pop-up box could... they have a simple text pop-up box. Mm-hmm. We could create a pop-up box that has a photograph and then the text. Whatever you guys decide you want to tell people about, what do we want to include? Now, we do want to be consistent, in my opinion. If you decide you want to give the title, the artist, the date, the medium, dimensions, we should try to be consistent and give all that information for all of the pieces. Mm-hmm. So you'll have to think about and decide what information you would like to see.
So it might be like the artist's name, and it's a metal sculpture, and blah, 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 blah. And
it's 12 feet high.
Yeah.
So people get it, since it's not.
Yeah.
Right, so this is doable.
Okay.
This is, but so you should take a look at this. This is the city's San Ramon Trails map. You can do the little pop-ups. Obviously, it pops up and zooms into you pop it up and you zoom into a more detailed, actually, little trail map. Okay. All right, so that's it. That's a few examples. There's a lot out there.
All right, so we all have homework to do between now and the next meeting, and we can...
Yeah, so I would... this is something that I think is going to appear several times throughout the year, you know, many times, where we're going to have discussion about the piece and what you would like. So it would be helpful if you would do some homework and take some notes. What I have right now is that you're kind of leaning towards doing like the full package, the full Monty online, with some sort of a downloadable, smaller brochure type format that's printable. Able to print a smaller version, maybe
something you can print on 8.5 by 11.
8.5 by 11, so we could literally print it out of the copy machine here. If someone asks for it, we can make copies of it. We don't have to go to a four color press process and have a huge budget for it. So no full brochure printing like it was done in 2002. Is that, am I hearing everybody right on that?
Yeah, that's my thought. I'd rather see that kind of money towards actual
online
art, so, yeah.
Okay. You like the colors for the different types of art to distinguish some different colors, different icons?
So here's also just an example. So here's Omaha's public art app.
Yeah, that's a whole different...
Well, no,
Yeah, that's a whole different
ballgame. I think that's where we want to eventually go.
And there's different... Yeah, there's different ways to do that. So as an example... So then you can go a whole different step. So this again is not, this would maybe
this
be a next
step.
We use out at the farm guide by sell. So we have interpretive signage out at Forest Home Farms. You can pick up a little brochure. Now granted, we only have 12 signs or 15 signs, so it's not a lot. But you can pick up the color brochure. You can go to the sign, and on the sign we have a number, and you can call in the number that's on the brochure, and you will hear additional information. Kind of. So if you're visually impaired, people can go to the sign, they get a summary of what the sign says, what building they're standing in front of, and then they get a little extra information. So guide by sell is something that you you know, could consider down the line. If you, you know, that's a subscription service, it's a fee to have a number where people can call in, and when you have a brochure and number piece number 5 on your map is number 5 on their phone, and they punch it in and they hear someone talking about the art. Maybe someone from the committee talking about the art. Maybe the artist talking about the art and their inspiration. So that's kind of extrapolating all this a little bit down the line. We don't want to bite off more than I can chew right now.
So, yeah, there's only about 4 or 5 cities. Cherry Hills, I'm assuming New Jersey.
It's
Cary, North Carolina, Barcelona, San Francisco.
They probably have a pretty big one.
San Francisco,
Barcelona,
and
spectacular.
That'd be nice.
All the Gaudi stuff.
Because it also, it could be, a one-stop shop for performing arts, the map for public art.
Yeah, you can.
You know, et cetera. So I mean, it could be funded from a variety of different sources.
Yeah. So that can be something that you take all of this, whatever what we hopefully end up with, and use it as a jumping off point for goals in the future, for things you want to work on in the future. Maybe once this gets accomplished, then maybe you do want to look at, put a group together to investigate what apps are out there that you can purchase or you can subscribe to provide people with a more robust experience from their phone, which would maybe give them the audio, which would throw out information about the performing arts too. So that's kind of, you definitely can use it as kind of a jumping off point. The other thing I got, so again, you want like the colors and the icons for the different types of things. You do not think we should divide the map into sections. So maybe the tab format isn't necessarily the way to go. Maybe looking at that whole city map instead.
The use for tab, well, if you do it the colored pieces, the tabs could be sculptures or murals.
Yeah,
or
you could do that.
Or galleries.
Yeah.
We ought to have, even though galleries, the content changes, we ought to have our galleries as part of our public art, and just identify our galleries.
As changing
various artists.
It's a good idea to put the location.
But you need to have,
should
have them on there.
Yeah, you're right. That's good. Include gallery locations.
Yeah, depending on the format, and I'm not a web person, but perhaps that could be something that could be updated as the art in the galleries changes.
Well, what we could do is
Well, I don't know if that's an easy thing.
We choose the artist.
Yeah.
And you could click through to the art schedule.
Exactly. Which
for a gallery
for now gets you through to this too. So we can put links anywhere.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So we can have unlimited links.
Yeah.
Right.
So if we did say maybe a tab format.
Yes. You could do
you could have a tab for galleries and on that tab we list the galleries. It's the same content we already have. The gallery list.
Right. And then who's the artist?
And then a link to the brochure. Right. Exactly. I think so.
You might have gallery parks versus buildings and commercial or something like that.
That's the way I would do the tabs is like what Will said.
Do you guys like the tab format? Is that something you want to investigate? See what that might kind of look like?
That's one of the options. Well,
yeah, an option.
People might be interested in a certain kind of art.
Yeah, you might be out. It might be a beautiful day. You go, let's go look at the art in the parks.
Yeah.
I don't think that's where the color coding makes sense. But I don't think you need to identify them. Give me a list of galleries. I suspect that you could create a tab that has all, and then you do the color coding, and then you hit the tab that says galleries, and it highlights our four or five galleries. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you hit all, it gives you the parks, the galleries, the sculptures, the murals.
As like a list?
No, just the map. So you don't need a tab for that, but you just need to check mark.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So the map, it would be a layered map. Yeah. So when you click on
galleries, only the galleries light up.
The measles would show up in different colors. If you just clicked on galleries, you would have all the blue galleries. If you had sculptures, all the red sculptures.
I can see how possible that is with our those of us who are going to be doing it. I'm going to tell him you said that when I call
Steve
him up.
Brilliant. Just tell Steve I said he's brilliant.
Okay.
like we're shocked.
Because we got to get his buy-in to do this. He doesn't have any clue I'm coming at him with this.
No,
no clue. Layered map. So each tab pops up one.
It could be either a menu with check marks. Mm-hmm. See, that's the way the GIS does layers. Mm-hmm. It could be like GIS layers where you click the all and all of them show up. Or you could click sculptures and only the sculptures show up.
Right.
It's not necessarily a tab, but it's
like the GIS selection. You could hit all and everything.
Right.
Or you could hit
It could either be tabs or it could be a menu on the across the side. Right. It could just be a menu.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tab or menu. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you could divide it into like sculptures,
murals,
fountains,
galleries.
See how many fountains we have.
Galleries, performing arts,
murals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the performing arts would just take you right straight to our.
I would say that would probably be under an all tab. Because don't get away from what we are considering public art.
Yeah.
So
don't start
going too far off of the tangent. Because we do publicize our visual arts and our performing arts in different areas, and you'll find the website is really robust right now, and we're working on it. So
they're not getting shortchanged.
They're not getting shortchanged, but you certainly could include the locations of the performing arts centers and the galleries as a separate separate thing. But if we're our focus, I think, really should be the public art. So I can see including the galleries, but I'm not sure you want to start then creating links and links to all the performing arts, because the focus for this is the map.
Let them build their own website. Now, what are the examples you read through? They included their utility box art.
Correct.
Do we want to include it?
Yes, of course. So, it's public art. It would be included.
It's not our definition.
It wasn't specifically mentioned before.
Yeah, no, it is.
I would mention it.
Yeah, definitely. We would include
this one. No, that one. previous one had the utility box.
This one has even sidewalk poetry.
Mm-hmm. This one has, I saw that. I thought that was really interesting.
This one has traffic control boxes.
Sidewalk poetry.
Yeah. I like that, yeah.
Is that the homeless encampment? What is that?
That's cowboy poetry.
Oh, sorry.
That's cowboy. Probably
it's a fancy word for graffiti.
Well, we do have one of the public graffiti art pieces. That vet building on the boulevard is in the sidewalk.
Might be something in the sidewalk.
Across from In and Out Burger.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the library.
The art pieces
or
in the
city center.
See, I'm going to need everybody's. We got to. Next, we'll be bringing an inventory so you can see what we have.
Yeah.
And you guys could go, oh no, we've got something else. I'm forgetting this.
The planning department could tell you because, you know, they have their conditions of approval include public art.
Yeah, and I've got. It's going to take some digging for me to get the records because we have all the records because everybody's looked. Pat's looked at all of them. Yes. It's just going to take some digging to get it all together.
We have some records.
And this would be, again, everybody here, eyes and ears, you know, to make sure that, you know, we are catching what we should catch. So, again, looking at some of the things to consider, I think we kind of like a lot of these things that are on here and kind of maybe using the GIS as our starting base, our base, our format. So any other comments you want me to get down right now? Comments, suggestions?
We haven't talked about an update cycle. And it's probably not a bad idea. We can't just do it every month. Do we have a 5-year cycle or a 10-year cycle?
I would say you probably would want to update it yearly. I mean, what are you going to get? I mean, even if you get just one piece a year, once we have the format done, it would be.
It's pretty simple.
That would be pretty simple to do.
So when we add, when we commission a new piece of art, we can just add it. That's the beautiful part about
it. It's built with a new piece of art.
Right, yeah.
Coming soon.
Well, there's going to be more frequency, hopefully, with the utility box art. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I mean,
city sponsored art
is one every 5 years.
You get city sponsored art. You get commercial sponsored art.
And that's maybe once a year tops.
Yeah.
Nowadays.
But even with the utility box, if you do one phase per year, I'm not sure we're going to get enough to do 2-3 phases per year. I'm probably looking at one phase per year. So if you did a yearly update, I think you could easily pick it up. But you're right. If it's been months, we don't have a lot, you know, we get one piece. No reason why that. Once the framework is built, I can even edit the website. Once they give me the boxes, trust me, I actually do updates that, I don't know how they look like they look.
It's going to be more on demand than
it could be, exactly.
Maybe have an annual review with it.
It could be on demand and then,
in October, you're not going to wait.
At a minimum, what you could do is put a review of the public art website / map every year is one of your agenda items where everybody looks, we look at the whole thing in totality, all the pages, all the pop-ups. We can actually, we're getting better Wi-Fi here. So hopefully we would be able to actually pop up the website, do the little button, you know, whatever buttons, tabs, things we have, and you could do an annual review.
Probably especially after year one, because we'll say what works and what doesn't work so well and then make some tweaks. So year one being more crucial.
Okay, so again, I would just encourage you to do some research, take some notes, find ones that you like, just shoot me a link. And I, you know, develop a list of links of things that we like, and the ones that, the things that you really do like in the elements is what I'll be taking forward to our people that really know what they're doing with the website, and to Stephen to try to see what we can, see what we can finagle out of him. So, okay. If there's nothing else, then I've got those comments down. Thank you very much for
Thanks
your
for
input.
The background work.
Extremely important.
All right, so then moving on, to, there's no subcommittee reports. So staff member items 9.1, Santa Ramon Performing Arts attendance from February.
Okay, so you see our attendance numbers for February, and they are dominated at this time of year by Doherty Valley High School. So between rentals and Doherty Valley High School, that took up the vast majority of the things happening in our performing arts facilities. We did, though, have one of our season shows, the Queen Tribute, and we had almost 500 tickets sold. So
yeah, that was
that was a great turnout.
Really energetic.
Good show, energetic. You enjoyed that?
Yeah.
Then we had our Bedtime Theater. I'm sorry. Did you have...
No.
Okay, sorry. I just want to make sure if you have a comment, I'm getting it down.
Yeah,
sorry.
He was in the pit the whole time, jumping up and down.
We did have a bedtime theater, and I'll draw your attention to that. We had 185. We've really seen an uptick in our bedtime theater shows, and these are the little, you know, magic shows or art shows or gymnast, you know, little acrobat shows geared towards the little bedtime set. They come in their jammies, little kids with their families. They see an you know, a performance of some sort, usually very interactive. They get cookies and milk. We've seen a real uptick in the numbers. For a while there, we were, you know, 125-ish, and we're pulling close to 200 people for those now. So we're getting a nice,
and that's,
you know,
here?
That's here at SRCC. Yeah, because the kids like to sit on the floor. So this facility, it's in the fountain room.
Okay.
This facility lends itself well to having the children.
Is that a monthly thing?
No, it's usually once a quarter or so, about once a quarter. Our foreign films continue to do very well. We had The Kid with the Bike. We had almost a, yeah, 81, so that's about as close as you can get to a full house.
Were you there?
No, I wasn't there.
That's The Kid with the Bike. Okay, on the next one, I'll make a comment. We had another foreign film then. Our foreign film series is a winter-spring series. Christina did go to The Son of the Bride, which was at the end of February, and she didn't have a final ticket. Lynn, our theater manager, was having some issues with the ticketing system at the end of the month, so you can see we didn't get... which is not correct. She wasn't able to get those correct numbers. But it was almost a full house as well. I think we drew it well over 80 for that. They're doing very well. We implemented a season ticket this year where you got a bit of a discount if you bought the whole season of the foreign films. That was new. And we have a good chunk, a third of the theater is taken up just with those season people. So it was great. So Christina did attend The Son of the Bride.
Yeah.
And her input was that... she highly recommends the movie. It's an Argentinian film. It follows the midlife crisis of an adult son who's coping with his mother's progressive memory loss, so things that can relate to a lot of people. The portrayal of the father's devotion is inspiring and lovely. She made a comment, the discussion, because we have moderators at these, so she said the discussion was led by Evelyn. She didn't get her last name. Who before the movie asked the audience to look for themes that they could discuss then after the movie. She said the discussion was very helpful. It brought up a lot of details that she had missed. So she appreciated her enthusiasm and the pre-film talk to kind of prepare her for what the film was like. So she was able to attend. So was anyone else able to attend anything this past month?
Not in February, but I went to Lady K performance in March.
So that's always a fun event. Lady K and the King of her Kings of Swing, mm-hmm. or the Kings of Swing. It's a big band, and a lot of dance groups, dance classes, I guess they are, come, and they dance. There's always a dance teacher there that gives about a 15 or 20 minute dance lesson during while the band's on intermission. And actually, I think it was attended by 53 was the head count, which I think is lower than normal.
That's a little bit lower than we had this past time.
Yeah.
About a third of what we've had.
That's what I thought. I know the room was more full at past performances that I've gone to. They were here at the Fountain Room, and the last performance they did was at...
We were up at Doherty.
Doherty, yeah. It's a larger room, but they were trying it out, so I think they're going to do every other performance here and
there. Well, they started the first ones at here.
We added at Dev Pack. We added the Doherty dance show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, at the Performing Arts Theater, it's just not a great venue for them because it's... People can come in. Ballroom dancing. People are there doing ballroom dancing.
But it's
great to just listen to the music, too, because it's a good band. They're good quality musicians, so, and fun music.
Their last couple of concerts at the Doherty Valley, they did open up the orchestra pit, and people were dancing down there.
Yeah.
I think that was kind of the genesis of the idea to...
To go into these more dance things.
Yeah, yeah.
Than a seating concert.
Which I think is a good venue. It just works well and feels a little bit more personal with them in that smaller venue. But it wasn't, the attendance was down. I'm not sure why, but I think we're just continuing to need to work on trying to increase audience at some of our performing arts.
I'll circle back with Erica, who is kind of the liaison for that group, because she would have talked to Kay to find out what her thoughts were. Erica's very good at doing as much advertising as we can. She does all the online postings and calendar postings and such. But I will get back with her to make sure that we did, that all of that was fulfilled and that was done. And we did... we do some targeted mailing to the dance clubs in an area like Arthur. I think there's still an Arthur Murray, like in Evermore, and so forth. So I'll make sure that we're hitting all of those, and I'll talk to her and make sure that that's happening.
Okay.
But you're right, it was down a little bit.
Yeah. So that's the only one that I attended. I don't know if anybody else attended anything.
Queen.
Yeah.
Queen. Okay.
Yeah, it's a good show. Okay.
Gallery
that had good attendance.
Show this month is phenomenal. It's great.
Yeah. The which one?
Yes, they were putting new art in City Hall.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Had, yep.
Did you have a chance to stroll through there?
Yes.
Got a lot of fabulous.
The previous one was actually stunning. It was beautiful art. I thought the pieces were a little pricey, but
unfortunately, we don't have control over that. But
I understand. But it was very high quality.
These are reasonable. These are $250, $300.
Yeah, I didn't look at the prices over at City Hall this month, but I did receive today, because I was at City Hall today for a training, and I received extremely positive comments from several of the city staff, including our assistant city manager, who was extremely pleased with the gallery showing in the City Hall, the new one. Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's good quality stuff.
Yeah,
really nice.
They were very impressed with that, so.
And if somebody who's got a lot of pieces to show, there's a lot of space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can put 20, 25 pieces up easily.
Well, and that's what happens behind the scenes after you all decide, your ranking of who what your favorites are, what you really feel is super compelling and really has that ability to show at a larger gallery. Then our staff behind the scenes coordinates and puts all the pieces together, because everybody says, oh, I can do January and June, but I can't do February and March. So we have to put all the pieces together and put them in a gallery where we can accommodate their pieces. So it's a big puzzle to put together. So that's all what happens behind the scenes.
Yeah, and this one's extensive as well, a number of pieces, because it's a one artist.
Because we have upstairs and downstairs,
so
we have quite a bit of
our artists, and there's probably 40 pieces there.
Right. Okay, so upcoming events, and we kind of talked about the art galleries.
Yeah, a little bit. So yeah, the galleries, really some beautiful, compelling things this month. So again, it is one of the charges of this committee to try to attend, visit the galleries or attend some of these upcoming events when you can, and report back to the staff and report back to the committee on that. So do your best, please, to use this calendar.
Sunday night, Judy Collins. How
and try to attend. I don't know. I didn't get an update. I'm not sure. But she's been getting a lot of press.
Yes.
I've seen it in the paper. She's been doing interviews, so I'm thinking it's probably going to be a pretty good turnout.
I heard her 2 years ago, and her voice is clear and strong. Mm-hmm. You know, really.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's on there. So we've got Judy Collins on the 25th of March at the Doherty Valley Performing Arts Center. We're continuing our foreign film series. This is a German film that's coming up. Again, free. Can't beat free. 12 and under, the kids are free. And tickets are only $7 for the San Ramon Symphonic Band. Legends of Pop.
You missed a couple. You skipped over a couple.
No, that's the first one up there. March 23rd.
I haven't got, I'm getting to Jax.
Okay.
Our in-house group, Jax, coming up at the beginning of April. We have, you may have seen Olaf and Sven.
Yeah.
My kids are grown. In the hall, in the entryway. So we're advertising the Sing-Along Frozen movie, which is a benefit for the Arts Foundation. It's a fundraiser for the Arts Foundation. So if you can attend anything, that would be fabulous.
Those are fun, too.
It's a sing-along. They can have the contest, the costume contest, right? You have pride, you have all kinds of fun things.
Will
it's a great...
Elsa.
And this is the bouncing ball on this Frozen. This is, people are going to be just... singing their hearts out. It's a very popular film.
The Marist Foundation is going to do the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Well, that's family fair.
That's not exactly family. Yes.
Can I go backwards?
Oh yeah, go ahead. Going backwards. Okay. Oh, Jack's postcards. Please take with you, and if you can leave them or distribute them anywhere.
So with Lady K, we're having a hard time with ticket sales, and we're really, really trying to push our performing arts. Scott, did you get your ticket yet? Well, now you have to.
Right.
So anyway, I have these. Take them with you. If you can attend, we would love it. I think Will's performing.
It's what?
Are you out spring town? Break, right?
April 6th and 7th. It is spring break.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is spring
break.
That's part. But if you're in town, it's fabulous entertainment.
Yeah.
And there's senior, we added this year a matinee performance. It's like I'm doing it. And a senior discount. So senior tickets are $17 as opposed to $22.
Awesome.
Yeah. We have another one of those bedtime theaters I mentioned coming up in April. That's the Fratello Marionettes Carnival of the Animals. Another foreign film coming up at the end of April. This is Our Little Sister. And that's a Japanese film, so that'll be interesting. And we do have towards the end of the month, the 21st of April, another one of our season shows. That's Sarah Evans.
That's all out, but it should be.
Yeah, so that's going to be a fabulous show. I'll be anxious to hear how that goes. And then April 28th, we have the San Francisco Scottish Fiddlers. And our in-house Bay Area Children's Theater has their performances happening towards the end of April into May. So we're hitting spring. We're hitting our stride. This is a really busy time of year for us. So we've got a lot of events and activities, a lot of things to choose from for you to go to and provide us some feedback on. So.
All right, and then the Arts and Wind Festival is Memorial Day weekend.
Memorial Day weekend, yeah. So probably at the next meeting, I'll be bringing forward to you the list of performances for the Art and Wind Festival, because that's 99% finalized. We just have a couple of community groups to plug in still for the festival, so I'll be bringing that to you next month so you can see what the lineup is.
And then the Arts Foundation has one and possibly two booths there, food booths that we're going to be doing
those applications.
And they did,
yes,
let me just remind you. They did fund the utility box art, which is a passion of ours. So we may be looking for some volunteers to help in the food booth. The one is going to be pulled pork sandwiches And the other one is a port and cheese booth, I think. Right? That's what we said.
No, I'm just kidding.
Just seeing if you're listening.
What do you think about port and cheese?
But we thought about that before when you were out there, right? Yeah. But if anybody's able to give us a shift, a 4-hour shift on Sunday or Monday, we would greatly appreciate it. So what's next? Probably by the next meeting, April meeting. That's probably fine. Okay. If anybody here can volunteer. Team Council, do you have anything to add?
Yes, we're on to item 10.
Sorry, item number 10.
We also have a booth at the Arts and Women Festival, so you all should check it out.
What's your booth?
It's just, I think we're planning on having like activities for teens, so we're going to be making stress balls because it's near finals.
Oh, our information table.
Yeah. So
we're
going
to have
a Teen Council booth.
Cool. Okay, great. I'll come
over. We can
rotate
then. We can rotate.
Anything else? You good? Okay. Council and commission gang?
Go first.
Most of the commission meeting was the report from the advisory committee from last month. We had a presentation on the park and the location for the art piece.
The eagle mm-hmm. has landed.
Mm-hmm. And that was about all. We had another update. I'm trying to remember what
bike it was. Master plan.
The bike master plan. Okay. Yes, thank you. Yeah, because we had a workshop the Monday before, or the week before, at the conference room in the back of City Hall, and then the actual draft of the master plan came out on Monday. And it was discussed at the commission meeting on Wednesday. So pretty comprehensive master plan for the bike, a series of less expensive but incremental changes to some of the thoroughfares. And the main issue is the east-west corridors. North-south is pretty good. It's the east-west corridors, Crow Canyon Road, Bollinger Canyon, Old Ranch, etc., and how you really safely create bike lanes east-west rather than north-south. So, the plan is looking at, overall there's about 144 points. About 40 to be looked at immediately, and the initial cost of the 40 would be somewhere around 1.8 to 2 million. So, looking at ways to do it more incrementally and through grants, funding and public money. The bridge that went through all the committees and the commission at on Bollinger up to Iron Horse Trail will be an integral part of the bike master plan.
Council, MCE or wherever they are?
Well, let's see. The council meeting, we had a couple of things on the agenda. Autonomous vehicle. We had to pass an ordinance in order for the Bishop Branch autonomous vehicle to actually operate on public streets. There's DMV is involved, Caltrans is involved, the state legislature is involved. And the city ordinance had, we had to have a city ordinance, so we put limitations and restrictions. We limited to 25 miles an hour, limited to the perimeter of Bishop Branch, a few things like that. But it won't be very long before, currently they can operate, but they can't provide passenger service. They're still in a testing mode. It's kind of funny. One of the things they have to do, when they're on the public street, they have to have a vehicle in close proximity that has flashing yellow lights on it with the driver. Okay, it kind of reminds us back in the day, more than 100 years ago, where the communities that had to have, if you had an automobile, you had to have a person with a lantern or a flag in front of it. It's the same kind of thing. So we've come 100 years and we haven't progressed at all.
So any fallout from the recent Arizona issue with the
The curious thing is the public announcement and the CBS News had it on their national news with John Blackstone, and it came on the same day as the accident in Tempe. So, but you can never plan.
Yeah, I saw it on the national news. I was like, wow, we rocked.
So there was Sam and Henry. Yes. So that was one of the ordinances we passed. Landscape and lighting district for that project all the way up by Home Depot. So they're paying their fair share of landscape lighting elements. We had a report by the police department. We're having a small increase in crime, but we are still substantial. We are still the safest city in the state of California for a city our size.
So where was the increase in crime?
It's almost, it's dominated by two things. It's the auto break-in.
Right.
Okay, theft from auto, not auto theft, but theft right. from auto. And
snatch and grabs.
Snatch and grabs at the groceries and the drugstores. It's the shoplifting, the $900 shoplifting, because $950 creates a potential for a prison sentence. $949 and below is a ticket. And by the way, the really awkward thing about the ticket is they are cumulative. You can have 10 tickets, and your 10th ticket has the same impact as the first ticket.
That's good to know.
So if you're shopping in Target and someone's using a
calculator, you've got to go through the cashier
card. It may not be the right budget, then you just want to make sure.
Price check all your items before you leave.
Yeah, stop checking
out. They've interviewed some of these guys, and they know about how much they can take that will limit their... the punishment.
Targets. Full
what about sale items? Yeah.
So what are they stealing? Like makeup and that kind of
thing?
Well,
they're baby food's a popular thing to take. Over the counter drugs, things that they can take to a flea market is often very good. So you can take over the counter drugs, and if they're still in sealed boxes, you can sell them at the.
You got to take a lot of crap from it. Yes, drug store.
You do. But they fill a shopping basket. They literally fill a shopping basket.
Yeah, you got to.
Booze, of course, is always popular. Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, that's
nice.
Yeah.
The last thing.
I have that section.
I'm having a party in a couple of weeks.
There you go.
On that note.
Refuse vehicle impact fee.
Oh, that's
I knew that heavier vehicles caused more damage to roads than light vehicles. That's kind of intuitive. But I'd always assumed it was more or less a linear relationship, that you double the weight, you double the impact. It turns out it's far more insidious than that. A garbage vehicle has the same impact on the street as about 9,400 SUVs. A single garbage
vehicle. Get out of here.
Yes, sir.
Really?
Yes.
I actually know these things as a ex-commercial property manager.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and because we run a three-bin system, there are three vehicles that go up and down, go up your street, and then three more vehicles come down your street. So every street is impacted by effectively six vehicles, which is the equivalent of 8,000 SUVs a day on your street. Okay?
That's worse than Costco traffic.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And so what the council voted on was to impose a fee on the refuse haulers to compensate for that. Now, as you might expect, they will pass that on. Mm-hmm. It will come out to about $3 a month per customer. Okay, but that what that does is that will go into a fund that goes into paving, the street paving.
So I have a question on that.
Yes.
But how about the FedEx and the UPS vehicles?
Typically on the order of about 1,000.
They're lighter weight because
lighter weight. Yes. And like I said, it's non-linear, and the garbage trucks are one of the heaviest vehicles to come on city streets.
And all that hydraulic equipment or anything.
Well, you look at it; they've got dual rear axles, and you know, so they've got tandem duals. And still, that is the heaviest vehicle that travels residential streets by far. Most of the 18-wheelers are on our bigger streets, which are actually built to a different standard, and the heavier standard on Bollinger, Crow, and Alcosta, things like that, mitigates some of that damage. But when you're on residential streets with these heavier vehicles, so it will generate about $1.5 million a year for additional city paving. Then, like I said earlier, you may have missed it, but I'm on the board of directors for MCE, which is the Marin County, or the Marin Clean Energy Program. You may have gotten mailers about it. You've probably seen it on Nextdoor. It is a utility that purchases power, and it's made up of the governments that chose to join. The governments get no money in return. We just authorize them to sell power in our jurisdiction. And so MCE, you'll get a mailer like this month. You should have gotten a mailer already from them. And then there's supposed to be a total of four mailers. It is an opt-out system, so you will be a member unless you opt out. Currently, the opt-out rate is about 4%. So 96% of the people have not opted out. And that's, when they did it in Lafayette, I think they ended up with 92% participation, 8% opt-out. Their rates, and I sit on the rate setting committee, will be 3 to 4% lower than the PG&E rate. That's comparable. We have our rate structure is absolutely parallel to PG&E's rate structure. So if they've got an E1 rate, we've got an E1 rate. If they've got a C10 rate, we've got a C10 rate. And so all these rates, in every case, we're 3 to 4% below their rate. Okay? So if you have any questions about MCE, let me know. I'm on the rate setting committee, the technical committee, and the board of directors.
Okay. Thank you. Does anyone have anything else? All right. Then, I do this every single month. Does somebody need to make a motion?
No. We just need to adjourn the meeting and sit and state the time
for
the record.
We adjourned at 8:40 p.m.
Okay.
Oh, one other thing on MCE. One of the things I was really pleased